Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Dota Ops Podcast. I'm your host, Bobo. For this week's episode, we're going to go into what I call a qualitative mechanic, meaning it is something that is more difficult to measure with hard numbers. And what it is it's psychological and emotional regulation. And I'll elaborate a little bit more on that later. But as we all know, all too well, Dota is an incredibly difficult and aggravating game. I've probably said that so many times throughout the episodes. If you've been keeping up with the podcast, I feel like I've said that a lot. But I mean, matter of fact, the game is though. It's a very hard game. But also more than that, it is toxic. Arguably one of the most toxic games out there. I think I watched a Watch Mojo video, you know, sometime within the last recent memory, and they went through, I think, the top 10 most toxic games, and Dota and League of Legends, I believe, were tied at number one, which frankly made sense to me. I was figuring Dota was going to be number one, I think the reason why Dota is like this way is because if you compare it to shooter games, we'll say shooter games are very fast paced. You run, shoot, kill, or get killed, and then you quickly reset and start again. And those games can still be irritating at times, and they have their own share of challenges, but the pacing of the game helps with moving on faster. You know, it's just very, very fast paced, and usually your deaths are not quite as, you know, impactful, I should say, maybe, or consequential in shooter games as they are in Dota. And obviously, again, I know a lot of it depends on Dota and your role and the state of the game, but mostly when you die, it's usually a fairly big deal. And Dota, so compared to shooter games, Dota likes to take its time. One of my friends illustrated, when you're losing in Dota, it's not like once you start losing, it's quickly over. If it's the beginning of the game and you're already in a deficit, that can sometimes be up to 30 to even 45 minutes of losing. And that's like losing the whole time. And like, yeah, sometimes you can pull it off, but just losing in Dota or those deficits, those can suck and be very hard to overcome at times. And, you know, because like I said, losing sucks. It always does. Losing for a prolonged period of time is even worse. It drags out. Your irritation grows, and people start lashing out at each other, quickly finding flaws in other people's gameplay. Well, today we're going to look into two aspects to help out when things start getting difficult in games and how to better manage your emotions and mindset. The two things are, we'll go into communication first and visualization. And I consulted with my dad a little bit before this episode, just to kind of, you know, get his input, because my dad is a renowned psychologist. He has been practicing for over 40 years, consulted with country leaders, CEOs of business empires, and saved hundreds, if not thousands, of marriages. And I've asked him, you know, just random questions growing up about like sports psychology and just kind of general psychology and mindset. And he just has wonderful advice. So I was just getting a few little tidbits here and there of just like what he thought, just about like, you know, just again, talking about mindset. And as always, before we dive in, I am well aware of how different each game is, you know, because, you know, there's always the asterisk for Dota. It depends, because the situations vary so much, you know, and that goes with the people you play with, because every person you play with has a different personality and a different play style. Some people you will instantly get along with, others you will instantly mute. We all have those games and experiences where we deal with the worst teammate who feeds or constantly flames or just flat out makes life miserable for everybody else. So I know these happen. However, I do believe they are pretty far and few between. So we'll not focus as much on those extreme examples. I think the reason why we remember them so well is because it's such a terrible experience that it seems to have happened more recently than it was. And again, maybe it just happened yesterday for you. I have no idea. Maybe I've just been very lucky in my Dota experience. I just haven't had a whole lot of them. So, but even though these points we're about to cover, they may not specifically apply to everybody, I promise you the overall quality of your games will improve. So with that, let's get started. All right, starting with the first point, communication. So the first thing that is the most critical to success and quality of gameplay is communication. The biggest benefit that communication gives your team is structure. And how it does this is by conveying information to each other, talking about who to focus in fights, laying out game plans. All of this happens by literally talking and interacting with each other. If you don't communicate, you're left to interpretation. The more you interpret, the more room there is for error. It is everybody's natural tendency to resort to playing their own game because it's the easiest and most comfortable path. And so it's like, you know, the natural part of the game. I do this all the time in several games where it's just easier just to kind of push everybody out, focus on your game. I'm not saying this is, you know, the worst thing to do or like you should never do this. No. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is like what I'm the point I'm trying to make is the more you play as a unit, the easier your game will be. And that doesn't mean literally constantly talking, but if you do talk more often, the game will get easier and your vision of how to go about the game will be easier to see and to go about. So I know our favorite feature in Dota is the mute button. I myself have used it on several people. However, I do think that muting everybody should be your last resort. Cutting off possible communication with a teammate can be very inhibiting towards both of your goals of winning. And again, I know we all have those games where someone is just ticked off at the world because their last game was terrible and their attitude carries over into this game where they, and so they already have a very sour presence. So, I mean, again, we're not going to talk about the extreme examples like that. Obviously, if that person's like that, then yeah, mute them, you know. But we're just focusing on just general, like going about general gameplay, because usually teammates are not like that. And sometimes you do need a mini reset in games, and that is totally fine. It is very healthy to know when you are getting flustered and recognize that your gameplay is getting worse. So taking a little break and muting people or even yourself can actually be very good. I have done that often, and then that is where you just take like, okay, I'm gonna give myself just a few minutes to kind of gather myself, focus on the game, and basically reorient yourself, you know, just get yourself, align yourself back on the path and get more objective minded or just zero in on like one or two simple goals. Everyone operates with communication differently. Some people constantly talk and exhaust their frustration outwardly, while others prefer to keep to themselves and are more introverted. So, and obviously, you know, I'm giving an example of extrovert, introvert. Knowing your preferred means of communication is very important, and also knowing how to effectively communicate that or convey that to your team is equally as important. So try to take a little bit of time to understand your preferred method of communication. Regardless if you like to talk or not, it's important to at least establish some way to communicate your plan to players. Pinging is always the easiest means, because you know, it's like I said, you just push a button, click there, and usually people can interpret like, oh, like if you ping a hero and they can see you walking up, you know, the most obvious thing is like, okay, they're going on the hero, you know. So you can ping, or you can ping on a cliff or ping a tower, you know. And so that's the easiest way to do it, and that's definitely an option. But just remember that talking is always the most clear way to communicate. So you can talk to your team like, hey, once it let's pressure bottom, let's get wards up in their jungle. That's a lot easier to say by talking than pinging. And obviously there are those shortcut pings like we need vision or push or on my way. And by all means, like use that. The most important thing and the point that I'm trying to make is practice these methods and ways to communicate so you can operate more as a unit with your team and more easily and better coordinate with them to push further to your objective of winning the game. Moving on to point two, visualization. A lot of athletes have sports psychologists to help them out. The first thing, so if you look at an athlete, the first thing we see is their body, what is on the outside. Often, for the most part, they are in great shape and can perform incredible physical feats daily. What we do not see is what goes on in the head, how much mental strength it takes to perform daily. Psychologists are very common in sports because what do you do when you start missing consistent open shots, or you're striking out a lot, or you're consistently cutting on your golf swing? Since you start missing or failing, it can seemingly become habitual because you start to expect it, because you are literally seeing it happen often. Psychologists help players combat these by having them do mental exercises. The most common mental exercise that you can do is to start visualizing yourself succeeding. Literally see those shots go in. See yourself hitting the ball correctly. The more you see yourself doing this, the more real it becomes. Literally, this is a very, very real thing. This exact same idea can be applied to Dota. Visualize yourself succeeding in games, getting those last hits, pulling at the right time, executing that blink initiation, microing multiple heroes or units efficiently. Whatever maneuver, mechanic, or gameplay you want to improve on, take the time to picture yourself doing it. Like, literally picture yourself doing it. Visualizing can be difficult, and it takes a lot of brain power to do. You're literally creating the picture in your head, then playing it out can be taxing, especially at first, because drawing those foundational lines takes time. For the first while, you might not even see anything. You need to be persistent, just like grinding to increase your MMR. Over time, that's what it is. It's just like grinding, you just gotta be patient and take a lot of time with it. Over time, the picture will become clear until it literally becomes real. And it's interesting because when I was talking to my dad about this, what he said was things I already covered, but one of my favorite players, or a player on my favorite team, was missing his shots. It was Bojan Bogdanovic for the Utah Jazz, and he was in a shooting slump in the season. And so as I was watching, it was just so aggravating to see, because it got to the point where he wouldn't even shoot wide open three pointers. Like, he would just pass it to another teammate, and you could tell he's like, I don't want any part with that. It was just so much in his head at that point, because it'd been going on for so long, that he was literally expecting the shot to miss. So I asked my dad, I was like, so what does somebody, how do you overcome that? Cause like, obviously, you practice just that shot over and over, but like, what else do they do? And what he said was the things that I have covered, where he said, you have to literally visualize yourself, the ball going in every time you shoot. And what was also interesting though, was he said, not only are you letting yourself down, you're letting the team down too. You're letting your teammates down. So that kind of adds some extra weight and accountability to the player. And it can be, it can be a little hard to hear, but essentially that's what you're doing. And if you want to be raw with yourself in Dota, if you don't execute that pull, or if you don't execute that initiation well, then in a sense, you're not doing your part to help your team win. And thus, in a very brutal way, you are letting them down. So that's why it's very critical, if you see yourself doing it, it does become reality, and also it becomes easier. And I'll end this section with a quote from Heber J. Grant, where he says, that which we persist in doing becomes easy to do. Not that the nature of the thing itself has changed, but because our power to do has increased. Basically, might be just beating it to death, but you gotta literally see yourself doing these things in Dota. And obviously, getting hands-on practice is always the best too, is a great way to do it. Like, by all means, like, yes, practice pulling, do the last hit simulator, or just go into practice mode, or even play against bots and play a hard hero that you're trying to get good with. That's what I did with Tinker for a very long time. Every night before I'd get on with my friends for a while, when everybody was getting on, or before I would be playing, I would just do a bot match and I would just play Tinker for a bit, and I would just practice the rhythm of microwing his blink and then using his spells or whatever, that's macroing, is where you're just one hero. Microwing is several heroes. But I'd practice macroing him the whole time just to get, and then I eventually build a rhythm. I'm not good with Tinker by any means. I'm not trying to say that, but I'm at least to the point with him where I can at least pick him and have a impact on the game, and I feel comfortable with him. Obviously, he's one of those heroes that there is tons and tons of room for improvement, and he's very difficult to play. But the whole point is that I've seen myself perform with him, so I know that I can perform with him. So always take the time to do those mental exercises to visualize and then to communicate with your teammates. It's hard to do, and it may seem like it's hard to do because you can't always measure it, the improvement, and that's the most motivating way is when you can see improvement. So with doing these qualitative mechanics, it may be hard at first because you're not exactly sure how much it's helping, or you spend a week or a few nights or however long doing it, and you're like, my gameplay has literally not changed. But go back and look over the games, look at your personal stats or watch the replays, and look at and try to give yourself some benchmarks. Give yourself some hard benchmarks to do. I'm gonna do three pulls this game or something simple like that. And the reason why I'm saying these things is because this is literally what I myself have done, and it's worked for me. So give yourself something to measure yourself by, so you can try, to be better. Like, okay, tomorrow or the next game, I'm gonna get off three pulls. I'm gonna get off, or I'm gonna average, by 10 minutes, I'm gonna try to get at least 50 CS or whatever is a good, CS for you. These are things that I did that's helped me further and further push myself, and you keep raising the bar until you watch replay or you look at like, wow, like this most recent game, I ended the game with 10, CS a minute, whereas the game a month ago, I was at, 7 or 5 CS a minute. So it can be very motivating to do that, and very, it's little ways, just these little things to help you keep pushing yourself and improving. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Dota Ops podcast. Greatly, greatly appreciated. I know this was another different episode of Dota Ops. We didn't do the hard definition of mechanics or items, but the principles we went over are equally as important. I really appreciate all of the support that you've given so far by just simply listening. It actually helps out a lot more than and it's very motivating to see people reacting and asking questions on Reddit and just giving, and just following along, just staying loyal in any way you can. So always greatly appreciated. If you ever have any questions or anything you want me to do homework on that you don't want to, by all means reach out, and I'm happy to do it. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck and have fun in your games.